Hello, my friend. Today, you're going to hear an inspiring story from an entrepreneur who went from overworking himself to now prioritizing his mental and physical health. He dealt with not only one, but two trips to the hospital, thinking he was having a heart attack, but is now sharing how he is still very successful in his business, but is also taking care of himself along the way. We're talking about surrendering to the process and the pivots in entrepreneurship, and I have a strong feeling that this one is really going to resonate with you. I've heard from so many people that things are feeling tough, and in those moments, we often need to pause and take a step back to get a better perspective before moving forward. This conversation will help you feel good about doing just that. My guest today shares how he navigated great financial success, but put his health on the back burner. But now that he's made adjustments, he now has both financial success as well as positive health changes too. So let me tell you more about him. Matt Gerlach is a highly accomplished entrepreneur, author, and coach. He's helped three global powerhouse brands explode beyond $100 million in annual revenue before founding his consulting firm that has helped build dozens of seven- and eight-figure businesses, while also earning $1 million annually of his own. However, the hustle of his first business really drove him to those two hospitalizations, and he had to make changes. So after Matt confronted his feelings that were making him feel broken, which forced him into introspection and self-discovery, enabling him to create a life of emotional and financial abundance, both in his personal and professional life. So in addition to his consulting company, he now helps other entrepreneurs who are navigating similar paths find abundance in their business and in their life. I am so grateful to Matt for sharing this part of his story with us today. So I won't make you wait any longer. Let's dive in. This is the Unapologetic Entrepreneur Podcast, a podcast for passionate entrepreneurs just like yourself who are looking to create a profitable and productive business that you are proud of. On this show, we explore entrepreneurship success stories, but not just the highlights. We get into the nitty-gritty details so that you know more about the path traveled to achieve that success. See, I'm on a mission to help you never feel like a failure again when it comes to achieving your goals. And so much of that is setting realistic expectations of the effort needed, goals that align with the season of your life, and ensuring that you have the accountability in place that you need. So on this podcast, you can expect real conversations, practical tips, and lots of encouragement along the way so that you have everything you need to follow through and actually achieve your definition of success. So if you're ready to go from unsure to unapologetic, be sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Thank you so much, Matt, for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Amanda. I'm really excited to be here.
Oh my goodness, I am too. And one of the things I always like to ask guests is, what brought you to entrepreneurship? Because so many people in my audience feel like they stumbled into entrepreneurship. And this is the question that kind of introduces you to everyone. And I'd love to hear how you kind of stumbled into it too.
I would say I stumbled into it. It was sort of mindless is what I want to say. Like I just kind of put one foot in front of the other, but now with a lot more perspective, I would say that I've always had a drive for extreme excellence. And I remember a boss that I liked and respected and I trusted him, but he was just like, Matt, you can't hold other people up to the same caliber of excellence you are. And that was probably 10 years before I started my entrepreneurship. So I probably should have known back then that I was meant to build a business of excellence myself.
I love that. He saw something in you that you didn't know was there yet. But, you know, those extra 10 years that you're working for other people, you accomplished some pretty cool things. And I'm certain you learned a lot that aided in your entrepreneurship journey too.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, my past, exactly those 10 years were working with other entrepreneurs. So.
Oh, that's so neat. So in what capacity did you work with entrepreneurs before?
So my career, I changed it completely. I was 27 years old, so not too seasoned, but I was selling metal, like for a metal distribution company. Kind of, I thought that people just bought metal through a catalog. I didn't know this existed, but it was a very competitive space that required negotiations. It was very, very challenging. But I left in 2010 after the economy had really taken it, taken a beating from the Great Recession. Mm-hmm. And I decided to move to New York. And I was going to go to New York, hell or high water. And I reached out to everybody and anybody I knew. And I found a job as a junior salesperson for a baby product company. And the past 14 years now, I have spent in the baby product business working for, I've worked for maybe 15 companies of varying size, from almost zero in revenue to $300 million in revenue.
Wow. That's so interesting. And you know, you never know what life is going to toss your way. I'm certain you were like not thinking you were going to end up in the baby product industry, but how much you probably learned through working with actual products and getting them into customers' hands and all the in-between and all of it, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I mean, it's like, it's been crazy to like work in this industry, and really what we were doing, like this wasn't a highly developed category before the late 2010, you know, like the late 2008, 2009 was when these companies started. And it was really like a lot of these companies started out of New York, where even really wealthy people still had a two-bedroom apartment and they didn't want to look at a Winnie the Pooh, you know, blanket their whole lives. And they wanted to have something more well-designed. And I was a big part of that movement where we really created categories. And I think a lot of us grew up with, you know, a lot less. I mean, you really only need a few blankets and a bed. And here, you know, I've sold $100 million worth of innovative baby products that weren't around 20, 30 years ago when we were all kids. So,
right.
Very interesting.
Yeah, that is so interesting. And you said something, you know, you're talking about 2008, 2009 and in that time frame. And that's when the economy was really, really, really low. And like things were really hard for a lot of people. And here we are in 2024. And after COVID hit in the last few years, like everyone's kind of been talking about the economy. And also these research papers come out of like so many businesses are created during those hard times, hard economic times. And what you're saying is that of like you were part of it back in 2008 and 2010 and all of that. And now we're in it again of this idea of people can start businesses out of necessity, out of desire. And so many people listening to this podcast are part of that. So many people started their business in the COVID times of 2020, 2021, creeping into 2022. And now we've hit a point where a lot of people are struggling and feeling like they've run themselves into the ground because they've just been putting one foot in front of the other. And one of the things that I really appreciate about you is that you are so open about struggles and how things were not perfect, and you went through some really hard times to figure out how to live a life that gives you life at the same time. And so I'd love to hear how, as much as you'd like to share about your story, of how it guided you and how you made some changes in your life.
Wow. I'm super happy to share. I mean, that's the real impetus behind the work that I'm doing now. I struggled so much. I'm 40 years old now, and it was about 7 years ago when my life started sending me wake-up calls that I couldn't ignore. Surely there were wake-up calls before then. I'm a big Oprah fan, and she says something like, your life will keep sending you wake-up calls until you listen, and they're just going to keep getting louder and louder. So when I started my business, it was 2016, the end of 2016. I was just laid off of a job. I left the baby product industry for just a minute and worked for a Silicon Valley software startup doing business development, and I was laid off. And it wasn't so much like a financial hardship for me. I'd always been very good at saving. My parents taught me how to do that well. And I never made like tons and tons of money before that. But I saved, you know, I mean, I was disciplined. My tax return went to the bank. And when other people were having more fun, I was throwing my money in the bank. So it wasn't so much that I was struggling financially, but it was really an identity. And like, what did I want to do? This software startup company, it was like crazy. I mean, I didn't have to go to the office ever. You don't have to tell anybody where you were at. Just get the job done. And I couldn't go back to like sitting in a chair until 5 o'clock on a Friday night just to appease my boss.
Right.
So that is how I started my entrepreneurial journey. But what I didn't realize was that being an entrepreneur takes a lot of strength, confidence, discernment, discipline, it takes good habits, it takes health, it takes all of these things. And I didn't have them. I was in sales, I was, you know, a top producer. And if things ever got too hard, I always had a really nice boss who would fight my fight for me. And starting my business, that was not the case at all. I hiring people, I thought everybody was nice and hardworking. Not the case. I had to advocate for my worth, for my value. That was the biggest hurdle. I mean, I was providing my clients astronomical results, and I didn't know how to ask for my part of the pie. So not only like was I not getting paid what I wanted to, but like inside me, it was another wake-up call that was happening. It's like, you're changing these people's lives. I remember very clearly thinking, I am not as smart as they are. Mm. And then as time went on, I realized that that's not really true. But that's a story for a different day.
Right. But I feel like we all end up having those feelings, and thank you for sharing it, of I'm providing this value, but I don't know what to charge for it. I don't know how to ask for it. There is not an entrepreneur that I have ever spoken with that has not navigated that. And I'm certain there are people out there, but even deep down, I feel like there's something in there. Like everyone has that self-doubt because we don't know what we don't know when we first start our business. And when we think about a service, it's so difficult because if we can contrast that with a product, oftentimes I think we look at the product and it's like, okay, this is the material cost. I'm going to, you know, increase that by 30% or whatever the percent is. And you go to market like that. With a service, it's so difficult. And I just think as a coach who's worked with so many people that my inclination is always to say, like, what are you confident in saying to the other person? And then, oh, you can raise your price. But it's that confidence. But it takes so much time, like you said, to navigate the, I'm not as smart as they are, or whatever the enoughness is.
So in what you just said, I mean, the lowest hanging fruit for me is work on the confidence. Mm. And I wouldn't say that, I mean, there's challenges in any business, but like right now, I think that we're going through a massive shift, kind of backtracking a little bit to what you were saying about the times or the seasons we're in right now, you know, the economy. I think we're going through a massive shift in consumer products right now. I think every single one of us has a friend who has taken a sabbatical or quit their high stress job to become a Pilates teacher.
And right.
Not a single one of these people are saying, gosh, I wish I had more money to buy a Chanel bag or something. They're 100% saying like they're happier without all of the stuff in life. And and with that, I mean, Amazon's changed. I mean, America, I do global business and Amazon isn't quite as prevalent in other countries as Amazon is in America. But it's like we've changed to like where you don't need to go to the store. You're not going to Target on a Saturday morning and buying $300 worth of stuff very often because you need a new shower curtain. You're going online and buying it and it's going to be delivered to you. Mm-hmm. So to sell a product is very difficult right now. And I think it all comes back to marketing. People have money. Like you and I, you know, we all have a few dollars to spend. Maybe somebody only has $10, maybe someone has $100. But I think the key is there's a buyer for everything. Mm-hmm. And you have to match your service or your product with that buyer. Mm-hmm. And that's the magic of the world. And what I keep telling myself is we have 8 billion people on this planet. You're trying to sell to 30, 300, 3,000, 300,000, 3 million. Mm-hmm. It is still like a tiny number in right. perspective to those 8 billion people. And even like if you think about it, if you're selling a high-end product that only 5% of the population can afford, 5% of 8 billion is still quite more than you would need to have a multi-trillion dollar business.
Right. I love that perspective. And I love how you framed that of what we have to do is find the service that we love to provide and the people that need that service. And it sounds so simple, yet we both know, everyone listening is like, but it's not that simple. And we totally get it. But when you really boil it down, and I'm curious to see how you did this, because from what I know, the little sliver of the story of yours that I know is you simplified things, yet you still have a very successful financially successful business. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say you probably narrowed things down. You probably worked less hours. I don't know exactly what ended up on the other side, but your health was taking a toll and you had to make some changes. And so for everyone who's like, but it's not that simple, sometimes we overcomplicate things. Do you agree?
Absolutely. I don't want to like undermine the simplicity of it because trust me, I've been an entrepreneur with my own business, my own consulting business, to be clear. I provide sales services and business expansion, revenue growth strategies for these baby product brands now. And I've been doing this for a little over 7 years. And maybe the past two, this has all made sense. So I spent 5 years making my life more difficult than it had to be, I guess you could say.
Right.
But I mean, I think that like to grow your business, it comes down to a lot of strategy. You know, you need to be focused on certain efforts at certain times. X amount of your day is business development. X amount of your day is spending time with the clients you have. X amount of the day is spending time growing the clients you have. You know, X amount of your day is doing social media. And if that's, and I don't think social media is working the way that it once did to grow your business. So that part of your business probably needs to be a little bit less than doing other sorts of business development activities. But for me, one thing that's really shifted that I've been able to like see massive changes is this like surrendering. Mm. You can't do it all. And I didn't know that. I thought the more I pushed, and I can really see the change here. Like the more I pushed, the more results I would have. And there was never, ever once any sort of acknowledgement to like listening to my body. Can my body handle anymore? I never thought like maybe if I rest tonight and actually rest my brain, sounds very simple right now. No one would argue that this would set you up for success the next day. But when you're in the weeds doing it, how do you not pay your payroll tonight? How do you not post that thing? How do you not return that call, that email? Sometimes it just has to be set aside for tomorrow so you can recharge yourself. And I think that in general, if we're an entrepreneur, we don't realize how much we are doing, how we're already over-delivering to our clients' expectations. And if you're not, then you gotta, that's a whole different story. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times we can ask, our clients don't want us to be suffering in most cases.
Right. Gosh, that's a good thing to remember. All of what you just said is so good of like the, maybe I should rest tonight. And I'm sitting here laughing. I know no one could hear that. And like, I'm smiling and laughing because of how many times I've done the exact same thing. And I've had to put so many boundaries in place for myself because when I was in the corporate world, I mean, I don't say this term lightly at all, but I was a workaholic. And that is something I can easily fall into because I love my job now more than I ever loved working for anyone else. And so I would work all day, every day, but I know that's not sustainable. But I have to remind myself all the time, like, Amanda, you can reply to that email tomorrow. You do not need to do this thing. And so, like you said, it sounds so simple and almost silly. You didn't say those words, I am, but it almost sounds silly to have to tell yourself that, but I just want to make sure everyone on the other end of this is hearing that they're not alone if that's what they have to do for themselves too, because it's really hard to not push really hard. Hey there, I promised to get you back into the episode really soon, but I wanted to share a special message with you today. So maybe you're feeling like you've let yourself or others down because your business isn't performing like it has before or you think it should be right now. I want you to know that you, my friend, are not alone. So many of my clients are feeling this way as well, but the clients who are still feeling proud of their businesses have two things in common. They've continued to make progress towards their goal, and their business is still profitable. So even if they aren't exactly where they wish they were, they are still proud because of these two things. I'm on a mission to help entrepreneurs build a profitable and productive business. And if you're looking to do this, I would absolutely love to support you. You can find all of the available options on my website at amandamckinney.com/work with me. But if you still aren't sure what option is best for you, or you just want to have a conversation, send me an email or a direct message on Instagram with the word support, and we can have a chat and see what will fit your needs the best. Okay, let's get back into the episode. You said something that I'd love to dig into a little bit more, which is the surrendering. So I'd love to like dig in and hear a little bit more about that.
Oh my gosh. So my life is all about surrendering right now. So I am making a little bit of a transition. I still have my baby product consulting business, but I'm moving my career in a direction of more purpose. And I am helping other entrepreneurs right now learn their value, learn to set boundaries, learn to not overextend themselves, learn to prioritize themselves, and just really learn that they're worth the abundance that they are building. So this has been a new venture for me, selling a service like we discussed, and marketing myself. This is something that's new to me in the form of social media, telling a story in a way that a broad audience will understand it. And it's hard.
It is. I will say that too. Like, it is really hard. And everyone that's listening, driving, taking their walk, just said, yes, it is. Because so many people go from whatever their other job was before, and all of a sudden they're like, I have to talk about myself to all these other people and tell them how I'm so awesome and can help them in this way. And it feels so weird. So you're not alone in that. It is such a difference, but is so needed. Like, the things that we can offer, whether it's myself, you, whoever's listening, like the services that we are drawn to, this new venture in your business is so cool, Matt. And if you didn't offer it to other people, it would be a disservice to the people that you can help.
I mean, I feel like that too. And to just kind of unpack a little bit about like what's hard, it's hard at the beginning to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
You know, you have to accept that you're just going to be bad at like things. And for me, this has been interesting, like having this consulting business, doing more or less repetitive work for the past 13, 14 years to start this whole new venture and to be like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know how to do a lot of this stuff. And then so you start putting yourself out there, which is hard as it is, but then that gets easy. And then you realize, oh, like, I'm not really doing this effectively. Like, I'm not really telling my story in the way that people are responding to in droves the way that I thought they were.
Right.
So it's been this consistent, like, growing every day. Like, but then you start to become used to, like, the fact that like, it's kind of fun being a novice. It's kind of fun, like learning new things. And then you get to this point of surrender where like you look at your to-do list and you're like, cool, like I have 6 things on the list today. And you're like, I got half of one of them done. And it's like an hour before bedtime. And you're like, I need to like read a book or watch some TV or something. And you just surrender and you have to accept that you've done your best. And this is what I did not do the first time in the entrepreneurship journey. Like, I have been to the hospital 2 times from stress, thinking that I was having a heart attack. The first night was the night my partner and I moved from New York to LA. Ooh. I spent the first night that we were together in the hospital, checked in to Cedar Sinai, shameful more than anything else. And I got out and just kept working. I mean, I started my healing and started figuring out what was going on. And there was a lot that was beneath it. A lot of it was just this drive to be perfect, inability to ask for help, inability to know that I'm worthy of help, just belief that anything that I wanted was something I needed to achieve on my own, belief that my desire to have a safe and abundant life was excessive and not something that I should expect support on. And I just kept pushing. And like, I remember just never, ever allowing myself to just like trust that it would work out. And this time around, it sounds crazy, but I'm just like trusting that it's going to work out. And somebody introduced me to spirituality in a bigger, I mean, the spirituality piece has hit me in a really different way these past like 6 weeks. Marianne Williamson, someone recommended I read her book. So I'm reading that at night. And it's just like crazy. Not much has changed in the way that I'm going about this other than I'm having fun and I am surrendering and just knowing that I did my best. And I don't know if my God is a man in the sky. I don't know that it's not, but it's like, just like, you have to kind of like accept that you don't have all the answers. Like, you don't know, like, what do they say? Like, tell God your plans and then he'll laugh or yes. something. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe God wants me to fail here because he has something big. And you really start to like believe that. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I joke, like, but that's the only option. It's either that or wind up in the hospital. And I'd rather believe it.
Right. Thank you for sharing so much of that. And, you know, I'm so sorry that you ended up in the hospital twice. And that is such a hard thing. But kind of like what you said about, I'm an Oprah fan too. And like, if you didn't listen, it just gets bigger is what she says. It's like the signs get bigger. And so you needed that sign. And again, I'm sorry that it happened and that's the wake-up call you had to have. I'm so grateful that it was the wake-up call that you needed and you're here today and you're sharing about this, because I have no doubt not only myself but other people need to hear this idea of surrendering. Because I am the person, sounds like we're very similar, like I'm like, when things are wrong in whatever capacity, business, life, whatever, I'm like the doer. I want to do everything to fix it. I want to take action. Like, sitting down is not an option. That is not typically what I would do. And dang it, you said something before we hit record, you and I were talking, and you said, like, sometimes you're forced. What did you say? You said forced, like forced learning or something like that. And I was like, oh, yes.
Oh, I said entrepreneurship is like a forced learning platform. Like,
yes.
You're forced to grow. Or you're going to swallow.
You're forced into these situations. And you hit this point and all of them are hard. And every entrepreneur that I talk to, no matter what stage, like they're all like, it's so hard. It's so hard. But the ones that are further along than myself or than, you know, a lot of people, they all say, it's always hard. You just have a new hard. You have a new problem to navigate. But I think the sooner we can get to where you're talking about of surrendering in a way that you're still taking action. I mean, you can't just hope that something happens. Hope is not a strategy is what I like to say all the time. We can hope for things, but it doesn't really work. But if you're taking the action and not beating yourself into the ground here, but having a balance of both is what we have to do. And so I'm curious how you have balanced those two things as you've, like, very tactically thinking, like, do you set goals differently? Do you have your day scheduled differently? What are these things that look different when you're in surrender mode?
So this is the thing that I have been sort of thinking about, and I'm doing a lot of reading. I mean, I read all the time, but sometimes I read less like business self-help books type stuff. And I'm back on that train right now for the time being. And it's been really cool to take that break and like, oh my gosh, you have all these like books at $20 or whatever, and they have so much wisdom. Right. And one thing that I've been saying to myself, it's like, or saying to my friends or colleagues or whoever will listen, like, who do you really know that is putting everything they can into something that's failing at it? I don't know that I know anybody that's doing that. But I think the caveat is you have to be open to learning. You have to be open to growing and pivoting along the way. Like, it's insane. We all know the definition of insanity is like doing the same thing and expecting different results. Right. So this isn't to say that like nobody ever fails at business. People need to be open to like the pivoting and the feedback. Like, you know, if you're doing this, if you're spending 30% of your time on a business activity that's not producing any return on your investment, you might need to adjust, and that needs to take less time so you can focus on something else. But if you're open to that feedback and open to that learning, you're going to probably do okay. And I mean, more than okay, you're probably going to be successful. Mm-hmm. And I think that I wanted to address that. But in terms of setting goals, I mean, I, you know, if you would have asked me 2 months ago, I have this strategy my coach gave me years ago. It's called the Ivy Lee method, IVYLEE. Very, very, very simple. And you put the 6 things that you need to get done that day in order of importance on a list, and you do them in order of importance. And whatever is not done, you move to the next day. That worked when I had a little less on my list. I need to do more than 6 things in a day right now. And they say that you can't. So I am not surprised that I'm not getting, sometimes there's 12 things on the list. You know, some things take 10 minutes, the 10 minute things I kind of put on a shorter list, but some things take 2 hours, some take 20 minutes, whatever. And at the end of the day, like, I've done the best I can, you know, and my best doesn't mean that I skipped lunch. My best does not mean that I didn't go for a walk. My best is like now introducing that self-care. I take the dog for a walk during lunch sometimes. My best might be like, hey, Amanda, I have a call with you. Can we have that on the phone rather than on Zoom so I can take that call while walking? Mm-hmm. I'm doing the best I can do. My haircut, maybe I cancel the haircut appointment and do that later because that's not the hugest priority, but I'm not sacrificing things that I need. Maybe I need a massage that day. I'm doing my best, but balancing that self-care, and I'm finding myself consistently at the end of the day. I start my day at like 4 a.m. So by 6 o'clock, by 5 o'clock, I am done.
That's a long day.
It's a long day. Mm-hmm. I push till 6 now, you know, 6. But like 6, eat dinner, and then I have an hour and a half before bedtime. Like, I'm really prioritizing that time and not shaming myself, because I'm like a big believer in other people's stories. I think about, like, you know, Bob Iger, for example, is one of like the CEOs that I think is pretty remarkable. Do you really think he's putting in 16-hour days every day? No. These people that are changing the world, that are doing really, really, really important things, there is some rest in there, you know, and you and I deserve the same.
Right. Right. And it's remarkable that we have to remind ourselves of this. And I literally have to schedule it in. I mean, I'm getting better about it, kind of like you've said, like, it takes time. But when I was really going from corporate to entrepreneurship, I realized how many habits I had just had been ingrained in me. Like, you couldn't pry me away from my computer before 5 p.m. because I was like scared I was going to get fired or something from like a non-boss that I didn't even have. And it was these weird things that would creep in. But I love what you were talking about in terms of looking at prioritizing your self-care, your rest, what you need that day. And so you used to use this one method and now you're really prioritizing other things. Do you still have like a system you use every day? I'm just curious because I feel like people will ask.
Yeah, I mean, I still do the Ivy Lee method. I'm just cheating a bit and I'm putting like 9 or 10 or 12 things on there. But on there consistently is yoga or it's something else, like, you know, or it's going for the walk or going to a doctor's appointment where it's like before, like there was a time when I was taking Ubers to doctor's appointments, partially because of the panic attacks I was having that kept me from driving. But there have been definite times that I would like Uber to Aaron so I could work in the car on the way to like that that place. And I mean, sure, if you have something that's really important, but like it was just to do more things that were going to render more results. And I mean, I just think that like for those of us who are entrepreneurs, we need to like really remember that we are producing at such a high level already. Mm-hmm. And it's worth the work to investigate where those beliefs about our self-worth come from and why we feel that we need to be doing that. But it's like, this is a constant battle, you know, in terms of like, we have to be successful. You have to respond to emails if you want to grow your business. Mm-hmm. But it's a constant prioritizing. And right now, like my word of the year this year is results. Mm-hmm. I like to say that last year I did my best, and I think we should always do our best. And I'm not shaming doing my best or saying that's not a good strategy, but like the doing my best this year is doing my best to hit the results that I want, not just doing my best to I love reading. I could read 4 hours in the morning. I can't read 4 hours in the morning because right. Nothing else is getting done if I do that.
Yeah.
So
I like that. I like your connection with results because what I think, and I'm putting a lot of things that we've talked about into one right now, but what happens with a lot of us, and I'll point all 10 fingers at myself so no one feels alone here, sometimes what we end up doing is keeping ourselves really, really busy with things, with tasks. And you talked about social media, we're talking about answering emails, we're talking about whatever the case is, and we keep ourselves so stinking busy because we feel like that's what we have to be doing, or so-and-so just mentioned this new social media platform or this new thing and I have to do it. But what we really need to understand is what actions lead to results, and there's usually less of those actions needed to get the result that we want, but we get caught up in all the shoulds. And we're always shoulding ourselves of so-and-so said I need to be doing this thing, or they're doing it, so I should too. Have you fallen into that one before?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's like, I think this is like why a lot of like the framework that I use with my clients is like there's an element of this like exposure to affluence, which is like exposure to people that are many levels above you. Mm-hmm. Because when we're at like this beginning level of entrepreneurship where we like are trying to figure things out for ourselves, a lot of times there's like a pride in doing all of this busy work. I remember like there was, I mean, I've never admitted this actually, which is fine because I've always wanted to say it. But like there was such a pride that I had when I was on airplanes all the time. I was on an airplane sometimes every other day. And it was like pride, like, look at me, I'm important. Mm-hmm. And now I kind of prefer to not travel. Even personally, I'm quite happy at home these days at this season of my life. But like we're new in this place of, I don't want to say power, but power, you know, you're like, I'm making my own choices. I'm making my own decisions. Like I have to be on that call. And in working in my consulting business, I've worked with about 15 entrepreneurs over the past 7-8 years. And it is interesting. There was one woman I worked with that really, really, really prided herself on working 100 hours a week.
Oh my gosh.
She had 2 children and a husband. And from what I understand, they're no longer together anymore. And I don't know where she's, I don't think the business is thriving anymore either. But, like
that's a
she
lot.
Was really proud of that. Yeah. Yeah. And it's
that's
like,
not sustainable.
Yeah. And I'm not shaming her. I think that without somebody exposing you to like the things that you need to be involved, no one can work. Not a single person in the world can work 100 hours a week consistently and be effective and be performing. There are seasons that, you know,
sure.
There might be a week or two that are crazy, but, we need to get ourselves out of the weeds. And I think that that's a really hard thing for people to do. And I've struggled with it at the beginning of my career so much. I thought everybody was like hardworking and trustworthy and like, just like I was. No, not the case. So you have to find those people that actually care about your business. And that's where the effort goes. So when you're looking at the piece of your pie for your week, you need to put some of those lower return on investment activities aside so you can actually, maybe it is putting, you know, 20%, 30% of your week for 2 weeks into finding that person that is going to take that stuff off your plate. In the long run, like it's all a balance of like prioritizing. And now like I'm really proud of myself the way that I schedule. Like, I mean, it's not just this daily thing. I have, I read that book called The One Thing. The name of the author escapes me. But I do that each month and I put down like my one things that I want to, like a variation of that. Mm-hmm. And then I break that down weekly. I go through my goals. I reflect on that each month. I kind of set new goals. And what I've noticed, I guess while I'm adding a lot to my daily planner, my weekly and monthly planners are getting a lot more focused.
Oh, that's great.
Where I've been really surprised to see this over the past like 2 months where I really inadvertently kind of dialed into just like 3 things. And it's like, I looked at it yesterday because it was the start of a new month. And I was like, oh my God, like I had 3 goals for Q1. I kind of put a quarter. I was like, holy crap. Like I am really close to achieving these things. Like I'm going to achieve these. And
what's not
on there are the things that don't matter.
Right. I love that so much. So what I say all the time is that we have to focus on something. And I highly encourage everyone to think about 90-day goals and really focusing on it, like you said, quarterly. And because when you can focus on something, like launching a new offering or learning about something and implementing it in your business, like whatever the thing is, it doesn't really matter. But if you can focus on that thing, it's unbelievable how much progress you can make in a short amount of time. But if you are trying to do all the things, you make no progress. It's like a little bit of progress here and there. And so I love what you said because the focus is what really helps in moving the needle forward. So I think it's all on point for sure.
Yep. It's just, I mean, like even an hour uninterrupted dedicating, when I go to a coffee shop, you know, you get so much more done in that hour if you just focus, turn off your notifications and all of that. But we can get a lot more done than we think we can. And I see it. And I think that's the power of like journal. I mean, I journal. That's one of my greatest, like, I mean, not everyone's a journaler. I'm not trying to convince you to do it if it's no interest to you. But for me, I get to reflect on these things. And I try to pop through my journal from prior years. And like, oh my gosh, you know, 3 years ago, I struggled with this where now like I can see those patterns. And now I'm like, oh, like I know what my problem is. Like right now, if I'm going through something that I can't seem to, get through, like, oh, like the problem is with my productivity. I'm not focused. And I can kind of self-solve those problems in a way that I wasn't able to before.
Right. I totally agree in that you can, when you can really focus in on something and really dial in that productivity, again, going back to that result, you can identify, okay, these are the three things that lead to this result. And so you cut your time in half basically because you cut out everything that's not working, but you double down on those things that do. It's just wonderful, but it does take some time to get there. So everyone has those seasons where it's like, I don't know what's working, but yeah, once you figure it out, it will really start to move the needle forward. Well, Matt, this has been so wonderful. And I know that everyone is going to want to connect with you and learn from you more. So where can people find out more about you on the internet?
I've had a really great time talking with you as well. I would love for anybody to follow me on Instagram. It's I am Matt Gerlach. Same handle on TikTok. And my website is mattgerlach.com, G-E-R-L-A-C-H. I offer a lot for entrepreneurs. I offer a lot for people who have been through mental struggles, been through emotional struggles. My story is one of a traumatic upbringing that I'm bringing a lot of awareness to. And I think that's a lot of what holds us back. So would love for anyone to follow along and let's do this together.
Yes. And I will make sure to have all the links in the show notes and I'll encourage everyone to go to your website. It is not only beautiful, but very well like designed and worded. And it's like you get to know you really well, very quickly, which I think is really cool because there's a lot of websites that are confusing. Yours is really clear.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being here today, Matt. It was such a delight to talk to Matt and hear how he navigated so many feelings about entrepreneurship, as well as the challenges along the way too. And it's my hope that you feel like you're not alone, because if you're having these feelings or challenges, I want you to feel more energized to tackle whatever is coming your way. But your next step after listening to this conversation is to ask yourself, what do you need to surrender in your business? Is it control of an outcome? Is it forcing a specific service that just isn't working right now? Is it a specific marketing channel that isn't worth your time? We all have to take action in our business to get results, but the key is to know what action will give you the results you're actually after, and the rest of it needs to be surrendered. So what do you need to surrender today? I'm cheering you on, my friend, because whatever it is, whenever you let it go, you're going to feel lighter. So until next time, give yourself permission to surrender and grace along the way. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you found it helpful or inspiring, be sure to share it with someone else who could use it too. Sharing is caring, but it's also a huge boost to your accountability. Sharing this message and then talking about it will ensure that you actually take the action that was mentioned in this episode. Hello, accountability. There's nothing better than the feeling of actually following through, and I want that for you. So screenshot it, share it, and if you share it on Instagram, be sure to tag me at @TheAmandaMcKinney too. Until next time.